You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Traveling through the book of Jeremiah, we've often heard him referred to as the prophet of the broken heart. In this study on Through the Bible, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, tells us more about the depths of Jeremiah's heart and the difficulties of his job in representing God to a rebellious king and country. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'm so glad that you're here as our look at prophecy continues with Jeremiah chapters 37 through 39. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the teaching of your word. And regardless of where we live in the world, Lord, challenge us and change us as we listen. We want to grow closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Open now to Jeremiah 37 as we go through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we have come here to the 37th chapter of Jeremiah. And actually, we have now moved into a new section of the book. The emphasis from now on is historical. It's almost like Jeremiah is saying now, I told you so. But he's too much involved. He is crushed. He is broken by the message that he's had to give and now to see it fulfilled, and the city that he loved and the people he loved and the nation he loved going now into captivity and the city destroyed. So that this is not I told you so from Jeremiah, but it's the heartbreak of a man who was involved in this program of God, and he is revealing God. He's God's witness. And if you want to know how God feels about all of this, look at the tears streaming down the eyes of Jeremiah. And we need to recognize that over 30 years of this man's ministry has gone by. We saw him as a young man, about 20 years of age, as he began his ministry as a young priest who was called to be a prophet of God, and he was a prophet of God. Now he's in prison, and he's not only in prison, but outside the walls of Jerusalem, there's the army of the king of Babylon, and they have been there now in a long siege of 18 months. And Jeremiah doesn't go into a great deal of detail here, but actually, if you'd go back to the second book of Kings and the second book of Chronicles, and you would find a record of it. In fact, the last chapter of Jeremiah, the 52nd chapter, covers that, and I probably will be referring to that in this section that we're in. Now we have here the fall of Jerusalem in chapters 37, 38, and 39, and we want to cover these chapters here. In chapter 37, we see this man now put into prison, and he was put into prison because of the fact that he had said to the king that he was not to make an alliance with Pharaoh and that he was to surrender to Babylon. And he almost did the very opposite of what God had told him to do, and this was Zedekiah. We are now at the very door of the captivity of the nation. Verse 11, and I dropped down to read that, it came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. Now, what had happened was this, that Nebuchadnezzar was coming down for the third, and actually for him the last time, he was going to destroy Jerusalem. Before, he'd just taken a certain number of the people captive and had put someone on the throne there. In fact, he had put Zedekiah on the throne, and Zedekiah was his vassal, but he certainly wanted to get out from and under the king of Babylon, and he made an overture to Pharaoh in Egypt, and Pharaoh in Egypt decided to come up and try to relieve the king. And of course, what he would do, he just moved the southern kingdom of Judah under the rule of Egypt. The thing was that the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, came up, and Nebuchadnezzar then, his commanders that were there, they turned, and instead of besieging the city, they went after Pharaoh and actually drove him back. And Israel made a big mistake in this, and now we find that it looks at this point as if Jeremiah might be wrong. And so Jeremiah, while the city is being relieved, he comes out of the city to go up to his hometown of Anathoth. And when he does, will you notice what we're told, verse 12, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Arijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, thou fallest away to the Chaldeans. Now they make an accusation against Jeremiah that he's going over to the enemy. Verse 14, then said Jeremiah, it's false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans, but he hearkened not to him. So Arijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him, put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. And he's here actually in the court of the prison, and that's where they were keeping him now. And this, by the way, is the fourth time. It's the fourth time that poor Jeremiah's been arrested and thrown in prison. And there's one more coming up, by the way. Now here in chapter 38, this man is still in prison, Jeremiah is. And the thing that he does, he sends from prison a message to Zedekiah to obey God at this time, because outside is the army, and the army is going to destroy the city. Now, I want to read here, beginning with verse 17 of chapter 38. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. He said, surrender. You can't resist this man. And this is the thing that you should do. You should surrender at this particular time. Well, of course, Zedekiah did not listen, did not heed the message. Now, I read on, verse 18. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans. They shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I'm afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord. You see, this man Zedekiah was so involved, because he was a coward at heart, in trying to make peace with everybody and please everybody. He was a typical politician, and as a result, he pleased nobody. And he's now got his nation in a great deal of difficulty. Now he says, verse 21, if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord hath showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they're turned away back. And this is a very interesting picture, and I won't have time to develop it, but if you would go through here, you would find out that womanhood at this time was pretty much corrupt. And as a result, when womanhood becomes corrupt in any nation, there's very little hope for it on a moral plane. And that is exactly, of course, what you have here. But now this is the message that he gives, and the message is not heeded. This man Zedekiah would not listen to Jeremiah. He still listened to the false prophets. Now verse 28 of chapter 38. So Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. Now you see, this is largely historical through here, what really took place. Now in chapter 39, what we have here is the awful thing that happened. And we're told, and I'm reading now verse 1 of chapter 39, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, the 4th month, the 9th day of the month, the city was broken up. That's important to note. Now I drop down to verse 7. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. We have that statement made, and there are two great truths that are self-evident up to this point. Now, Jerusalem has fallen, and Babylon now has taken it, and the city is destroyed, and the temple is burned. Now, if you want the record of that, if you went over to the 52nd chapter of Jeremiah, that's the last chapter, this is sort of a retrospect. It looks back to what took place, and this evidently was impressed upon the mind of Jeremiah. It says here, verse 4, it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, of the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, built forts against it. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. You see, he had come really three times against Jerusalem. He took it the first time, and he just put Jehoiachin. Then the second time he came, and Jehoiachin had rebelled. Then he put this man Zedekiah on the throne. He was an uncle, but a young man. But he rebelled, and now he's come for the last time, and he is destroying the city of Jerusalem. And you have the record here in this chapter, which I'm not going to read, but it's a very horrible picture of how he took the city, and he carried away captives, certain of the poor of the people and the residue of the people that remained in the city, those that fell away and fell to the king of Babylon and the rest of the multitude. Now some went over to the king of Babylon, and he carried away a great delegation at this time. But the thing that he did here, and it was a thing that is very terrible, he put out Zedekiah's eyes. First of all, he slew the sons of Zedekiah before him. Verse 6 of chapter 39. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Verse 7, moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes, bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. That's a frightful picture now that we have here. And this begins what our Lord Jesus called the times of the Gentiles. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And I insist that though they have the city today, that they are not trodding the old city, that the Gentiles are still actually in control. Most of the holy places there, Israel doesn't have a one of them, except a wailing wall. They've got a wall to go to and weep, and that's all they've got in the old city. But the words of the Lord Jesus are still true. Now the other thing is something that's difficult for this generation to accept, and that is the fact of the judgment of God, that the judgment of God comes upon a nation, it comes upon a family, it comes upon an individual. And for 40 years, Jeremiah had proclaimed the word of Jehovah. He had denounced the sins of the people. He called these people to repentance, and they had not. And God was patient, and his patience deceived them. It enabled the false prophets to say, see, the words of Jeremiah have not come to pass. Now they have come to pass. and it's too late now. You remember? Because that judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men is in them to do evil. Because God doesn't move hurriedly. Now, I used to think as a boy, and when I was a boy, I was a good boy, but always got with bad boys. That was my problem. And we used to steal peaches and apples and eggs and watermelons, anything else we could. And I know that one time that I was up in a peach tree, and my, those peaches were nice, and the owner of it, I heard him call my name. And I looked down, and there he was looking up at me. And you know, I felt at that moment that fire would come out of heaven and God would strike me with a lightning bolt. And after that, every time, remember one time in a watermelon patch, couldn't get through the fence. I got hung up on the barbed wire and I thought somebody was after me, but there wasn't. It was just a bad conscience. But I felt like any moment that there would come a lightning bolt and just end it all as far as I was concerned, you see. And a great many people today think that because God doesn't move immediately, that means that he's being generous with you. It means that he's not going to do anything. You know, there's an old proverb, at least one of the, I guess it was one of the Greek poets that said it, the mills of God grind slowly, but they grind exceeding small. And God does let a people go on and an individual until there comes a time there is no remedy. That's where we come here. And the day that this man Nebuchadnezzar broke into the city, it says here, as we have seen, that he besieged it. And that day, the ninth month, the city was broken up. From that moment on, it's too late. Now, it's difficult for man to accept that today that God judges. And I want to spend just a moment with this because some of you are really going to think I'm a square because this is outmoded today. But I want you to notice a few things and see how outmoded this is. Humanity. Mankind does not like to hear that God is going to judge. And they just can't believe that God ever gets angry. And you find that everywhere. Let me say this. You find it in the New Testament. Now, there are those today that say the God of the Old Testament, he was a God of wrath. But when you come to the New Testament, well, it's altogether different. May I say to you that there's more divine wrath and anger in the New Testament than there is in the Old? Read the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Matthew and listen to the gentle Jesus speak. And that's what makes it frightful when he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And when you read the book of Revelation and the bowls of wrath are poured out, and there's nothing like that in the Old Testament. So that when you say today that the Old Testament has the God of wrath, the New Testament the God of love, it's almost the other way around. But just happens to be that he's a God of love, and he's a God also of wrath and of anger, and that he punishes sin. And you find here the thing we've mentioned before, the bitter and the sweet. You find divine judgment down by the very side of divine mercy. And the throne of God today, there's a throne of grace and a place to find mercy and help. But that very throne is going to judge this earth someday, and that's what makes it extremely difficult for man to see and understand. Now, the very interesting thing is, not only is it in the New Testament, but you'll find that that is true in nature. Have you ever stopped to think today that you find the anger and judgment of God in nature? Well, if you don't believe it, then I would suggest that you go up to Yosemite Valley, and there's a place called El Capitan, the sheer surface of a rock, several thousand feet high, and step off of it. And see what happens. In nature, there are certain laws, and they're inexorable. And my friend, if you obey them and you're good, well, may I say to you that you'll live. But I want to say this to you, if you break them, you're going to die. The man that went to the moon, we think it's such a wonderful feat. It was. But you know what actually happened? They just were using the laws of God, and you know what they were doing? They were obeying them. They didn't break them. They didn't dare break them. When they started out to the moon, they didn't start toward the moon. They start to where it would be when they got there. And they knew it would be there. It wasn't there at the time, but they knew it would be there because that's one of the laws of God. There's movement in this universe, and it follows a certain law and a pattern. And if you ignore it, those fellows would still be out yonder somewhere in space, and they would not be alive. And also, when they got on the moon, they didn't say, well, now let's take off our helmets and run around here and have a lot of fun. They didn't dare do that. They had to recognize that the law of gravity was different there and there was not any air there. And you better obey those laws. If you obey them, you'll live. If you disobey them, you'll die. Who says that? God says that. God is a God of love. And this is where he said, I've loved you with an everlasting love, but you're judged now because you've disobeyed the anger of God and the judgment of God. You don't like it? Then step off of a 10-story building that man makes and you'll find out God has the law of gravitation working there. And he won't revoke it. He won't repeal it. He won't dissolve it to please you. May I say to you, you'll find it's there. Then may I say to you that you not only find this is a revelation of God in nature, and that nature proclaims his vengeance, his anger, and his punishment, but you're also going to find it in human history. Human history does that. All you have to do is walk down through the corridor of time and look at the debris and the ashes and the wreckage of the great civilizations of this world. They testify that he's a God of vengeance, a God of punishment, a God of judgment. And when they turn from high ideals and from a lofty moral plane to base ideals, they go down and they pass off the stage of human history. And it's time some of our intellectuals in this country are beginning to read history aright today, and that God moves in human history. Now, I want to say that I feel like a square saying this, but may I also say to you, I don't feel so bad about it because Jeremiah was a square and the king was pig-headed. Old Zedekiah was pig-headed. And the intellectuals at that day, the sophisticates, the one who thought they knew it all, the ones who had ruled God out, they were stupid. They were stupid, my beloved. So when today I'm called an intellectual obscurantist, I don't know what that is, but whatever it is, it must not be good, and that's what they call me. May I say to you, I don't mind being that because I'm fine. I'm in very good company. Fact of the matter is, I find out God is in this area. Until next time, may God bless you, my beloved.
While it can be difficult to hear about God's righteous judgment, Scripture always balances the difficult message with the outrageous love of God for his people. If you're a new listener, we really want you to know that God loves you and gave the life of his only son, Jesus Christ, so that you can know him personally and then spend eternity in his presence. You can learn more about the gift of eternal life made possible only through the death of Jesus on the cross. So go to our website at ttb.org and search for How Can I Know God? There you'll find many free resources from Dr. McGee explaining the amazing gift of salvation. Or if you'd prefer, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. That's 1-800-652-4253, and we'll send you a couple of these resources by mail. And for those looking to deepen your personal study of God's Word, ttb.org has something for you as well. You can check out Dr. McGee's more than 100 booklets and other resources that we make available just for you. This week, our lessons in Jeremiah close, and we'd love to hear what you've learned in our study in God's Word. So why don't you take a minute and write or email us a note telling us about what God has been teaching you and then how you've been changed by these studies. You can email your note to BibleBus@ttb.org. That's BibleBus@ttb.org. Or mail your letter to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. So join us next time as our 5-year journey through the entire Word of God continues right here on Through the Bible. Our story on the Bible Bus today is just one step in a 5-year journey through the entire Word of God. Come along for the ride, and you'll study both the Old Testament and New Testament, discovering God's great redemption story. Is this your story too?
Hi, fishing enthusiast. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Well, look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows, ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. Thank you. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Praise the Lord to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is to all our faith partners and radio listeners. We are the church in the city with the city in our hearts. Praise God. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly of Melbourne, Florida. And the church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard. That's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Come and be blessed of the Lord. Now here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for this wonderful opportunity once again to be a blessing to all those that are tuned into the broadcast. We thank the Lord for your attention and everything that you're doing. And those that do not know him, we pray for them that they will come to the bleeding side of Calvary and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Praise God. Well, today we want to look at Matthew, the 8th chapter, and we want to teach on a subject so great of faith. I tell you, it's a very important chapter here when Jesus was healed the lepers, and then all of a sudden a centurion came to him. So we want to look at what the Word of God says in Matthew 8 and verse 5. We're going to start there at 5. And Minister Gloria, I'll ask for you to read the 5th verse and come on down, because Jesus already healed one of the lepers and told them that, the lepers, and told them to go show yourself unto the priest and so forth. But this centurion here, which struck a very strong chord in my understanding here concerning how great of faith that he had. Praise God.
And when Jesus was entered in Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him.
Now, the centurion beseeched the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was asking him concerning his servant. And most people today, now this centurion here was in charge of, under the Romans calculation, a centurion is 100 men. So he was in charge of 100 cadre men, so to speak. So he came to Jesus, and he's asking Jesus to heal his servant. But I want to tell you today, many folks, if you have faith, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, now this is in the natural, but I'm speaking concerning the Word of God now from a spiritual standpoint, that if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ with the faith that's needed, believing that whatever you're asking him for, that he will do it, you will have what you ask him for. Praise God. But this centurion had great faith. Jesus said that. And that's why we want to look at the subject here, so great of faith. Listen to me very carefully. So great of faith. Greater faith. Not just faith, but greater faith. So when Jesus came down, the centurion came to him. Praise God. When Jesus came from into Capernaum there, the centurion spoke to Jesus. And you know, Minister Glory, what is happening is he was very concerned about his servant.
Yes.
Because his servant was sick,
mm-hmm.
you know. Mm-hmm. And we should be concerned about one another as well when there are people that are sick. that we know of. We should pray to the Lord and ask him to touch their bodies and to heal them. So this centurion came to Jesus. What did he ask the Lord Jesus Christ?
And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy.
So he came to Jesus and he explained to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he had a servant, or he have a servant, that's lying home there. He's sick of the palsy. Now, you know, there's nothing too difficult for God to do.
No, it's not.
And Jesus never walked the earth here as the Son of God. He walked as the Son of Man. So he's now going to do something for this man. Otherwise, you're going to meet the request of this centurion. Because the centurion is very concerned about his servant that lies home sick of the palsy. Well, I looked at the palsy must be some kind of some kind of sickness there that
paralysis.
Yeah, paralysis.
And he was grievously tormented.
And he was being tormented.
Yes.
He was being tormented. Well, nobody's gonna torment you but the devil.
Amen.
So he lies sick of the palsy. And he's asking Jesus to heal his servant.
Amen.
Now, that's got to be faith, because I tell you, the centurion must have faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in order for him to tell him that he has a servant that's home sick of the palsy. So you want to read that moment?
And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him.
See, and Jesus said that he would come. In other words, he would heal his servant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's amazing.
Yes.
When Jesus is talking to the centurion had a request that his servant was home sick of the palsy. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him.
Amen.
But the centurion said, no, says, he's not worthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That he's not worthy.
Yeah.
So I wonder why he didn't want Jesus to come under his roof.
Mm-hmm.
But he asked the Lord to speak the word.
Praise God.
Now, this is where the faith comes in, because he said, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof, but speak the word.
Only.
Speak the word only. Oh, wow. What a powerful request.
Yes, it is.
Just speak the word only.
And my servant shall be healed. Lord, have mercy.
Now, just speak the word only.
Mm-hmm.
So the word, glory to God, the word would bring forth healing in his servant's life if it's just speak the word. Now, the centurion, from what we're looking at here, is that he had faith in the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
In what the Lord Jesus Christ would say, he had faith in it. But the beauty of the whole thing is that this centurion, he was a man of authority. See, like I said before, under the Roman calculation, that he had 100 men under his authority. And the most beautiful thing about what we're talking about is that he said he's not worthy.
He's not worthy.
That you come under my roof, but just speak the word only.
Amen.
And I know that, and you said, and he know that his servant
shall be healed.
Shall be healed. Now that's really faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's greater faith. That's faith that made Jesus marvel. Because what happened is that he says, well, he never found such greater faith in all of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So this is great faith.
Yes.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. This is great faith. Then he began to elaborate now, the centurion, in terms of why he is saying this. Because he recognized the authority.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, I am a man of authority.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
He's a man of authority.
Mm-hmm.
And when he tell one of his soldiers, go and do something.
Yes.
They obey. They go and do it. And it's a done deal.
Yes.
Isn't that, that's amazing. It's a done deal. When he tells his servants, well, listen, you go and do such and such. He doesn't have no problem in terms of believing that it'll be done. So he says that he's a man of authority. Praise God. And he had to recognize the authority of Jesus.
Praise God.
Because if otherwise he would not have believed the word that Jesus spoke. So he's a man of authority. And he tells his servants to go, and they go. And he tells them to come, and they come. Whatever he tells them to do, they do it.
Amen. Praise God.
That's powerful.
Yes, it is.
Because when you recognize the authority that you have and believe, as the centurion did, then you can have exactly what you need. Jesus, as the centurion spoke and said, well, just speak the word only. So it's amazing how this servant was healed because of the centurion believing what the word of God is saying. We don't read a little more on that minister,
okay.
Because it's so important here that we look at what the centurion had said and believe in the authority.
And when Jesus heard the centurion, he says, he said unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel.
So great faith. He said he has not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is faith. And we know that when he spoke that word, his servant will be made whole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's not where the servant is, but the centurion believed what Jesus said, that his servant will be made whole.
Right.
I tell you, this is the faith that we all need in terms of believing what the word of God says. Because Jesus is the word. So the word, as we read it, we should believe that what he says in his word, that it will come to pass in our lives as children of God. So go ahead and read a little more on that.
And said, I say unto you that many shall come from east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Well, that's going a little more than what we were talking about here,
right,
in terms of.
But I'll go on. Yeah. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee.
Now, that's. Read that again, praise God.
And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. And as thou hast believed.
As he has believed.
So be it done unto thee.
So it be done unto thee. So that's faith. Because, see, he recognized the authority. And then Jesus recognized that this centurion, man, I mean, he's got these 100 people under his watch. Mm-hmm. So what it is that when he tells them to do something, they do it.
Mm-hmm.
So he know that it's a done deal once he tells them. So the same thing is that Jesus said, well, go your way. You know, as you have believed, it'll be done unto you. And I tell you, that the centurion's servant was made whole.
Right. Healed in the same hour.
In that same hour, he was made whole.
Mm-hmm.
Praise
Amen.
God. I tell you, that's wonderful. Because Jesus hadn't long finished healing a leper in the beginning of the chapter there. So it's wonderful. But what we're talking about is believing what the word says, because Jesus spoke the word.
Praise God.
And the servant centurion believed the word that Jesus spoke, and his servant was made whole.
Amen.
What about you today? You're reading the word of God as a child of God. And the word is telling us that by his stripes you heal. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe what the word of God says?
Mm-hmm.
That by his stripes you heal? The word tells us that he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. The word of God tells us that Jesus took all of this and laid on him, and he took it to Calvary. Now, we're talking about faith, so great a faith. This faith is wonderful. And what we as children of God must believe, that the word has the power to bring forth deliverance and healing in all of our lives. And we believe the word. Whatever your situation is today, you should believe what the word of God says. And the word says that by his stripes you are healed. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. It doesn't matter who you are or what your status is. As long as you believe what the word of God says and receive it, you can be made whole the same way that the centurion's servant. And Jesus said, wow, I never saw so great a faith in all of Israel.
Praise God.
Well, we're here today and we need healing in our bodies, and the word, the written word that we have before us, that we must believe it and receive it, and we will have exactly what the word says, because Jesus, he is the healer.
Yes, he is.
And as he walk, as he speak to us, he will bring forth deliverance in all of our lives as a child of God. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people today that just lay hold on what the word of God says and they keep going, you know, because I strongly believe that what his word says, all I have to do is just believe it
by faith
and receive it by faith.
That's right. There you go.
Amen. Amen. Just believe it and receive it by faith. Mm-hmm. Because the word is a word of faith. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And we lay hold on that, because when this word is spoken, it brings forth the power and the anointing. You know, the word of God is awesome. It's powerful.
Quick and powerful.
That's right. You want to read that verse of scripture? Yeah. Praise God. I think you brought it up before I could even say it.
Word of God is quick.
Yes.
And powerful. Praise and sharper God. Than any two-edged sword.
Amen.
Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and joints and marrows, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
The word of God
is quick.
The word of God is alive,
mm-hmm.
and it's powerful. Mm-hmm. And this is the word that Jesus spoke to the centurion. And what the result was is that his servant was made whole. Praise God. So we read here that the word of God is alive and it's powerful,
mm-hmm.
and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word has penetrating effect. The word has power. The word is alive. And when Jesus spoke the word only to that centurion, praise God, he believed it.
You know, Pastor,
yes.
Two-edged sword is cuts going in and
yes.
it cuts coming out back out.
Yes, it does.
It cuts.
Woo,
my
praise goodness. God. So that centurion, he believed exactly what Jesus was saying. And we should believe what he's saying as well, because when we read the word of God, it tells us everything, because Jesus is the word here from what we have today. Praise God. And all the healing and everything that we need will come through by the word of God. You know, Jesus, a lot of times when we read the scriptures, the Bible tells us that, I think it's in St. John there, 1, it says that, in the beginning was the Word, mm-hmm. and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Right.
So when that Word is spoken, mm-hmm. it brings forth healing in all of our lives. This morning here is so wonderful, that when we speak what the Word of God is saying, and there are many out there in Radio Land, wherever you are, you may be being challenged by a situation in your life, You may have difficulty, whatever it may be. The word is right there for you as well. Just put the word on the situation. Realize that the word is alive, that is powerful. And speak the word to the situation. And Jesus, I tell you, and Jesus said that you have what you say, praise God. But it has to be by faith, believing what it says. By faith. Mm-hmm. That's why in Mark 11 and verse 24, we're still talking about faith in the word, because the centurion had faith in the word that Jesus spoke concerning his servant. Yeah. We must have faith as well to believe. You have something you want to say?
Well, you're right. In Mark 11 and 22, first of all, it says, have faith in God.
Yes, have faith in God. But
so verily I say unto you,
yeah,
that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, that's your circumstances, problems that you may have,
yeah,
be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. But what does the word say? Believe.
Yes, believe. Yes, you have to believe.
That those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Praise God. That is faith. That's faith in the word of God. That's faith in what the word of God says. That's why he says, truly and truly, I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. That's faith as well. Faith, speaking what the word of God says. We know that. Many times people say, well, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen and so forth. Listen, scripturally speaking, that is what's written. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing is that when you speak faith, when you speak what the word says, and by faith believing that you will have the desired results of what that word is saying, praise God, you'll have what you say. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus said that in Mark 11. Mm-hmm. So this morning, praise God, we can speak the word as well. Mm-hmm. The word is alive and is powerful, and the word is in our mouth and our heart, and we should believe what the word of God says and speak the word. Now, if the centurion believed what Jesus said when he spoke the word, why can't you or I believe what Jesus said in his word to us?
Amen.
So we can have the result. Praise God. Because what he's talking to us about is that I'm not a man of any authority or anything of that nature, but the most important thing is that I believe what the word of God says, and I lay hold on that word, because that word is powerful. It's powerful. And the word will bring forth healing to all of our flesh. Mm-hmm. That's what the word has, that power.
Yes.
Bring forth healing to all of our flesh. Mm-hmm. I know we started out with the centurion and so forth, but we're still talking about faith.
Right.
And that faith has to be in what Jesus Christ has said, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, he told the centurion, he marveled about the centurion when he said, wow, he has not found so great a faith in all of Israel. Well, what about today? What about today, right now? Our faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because we know that when we look at things here in Hebrew 11, we see that the scripture tells us right now faith. So, you know, Minister Glory, the centurion, he said, just speak the word. Only.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that his servant will be made whole. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. Yes.
That's why Jesus said he never found so great a faith in all of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
This man, this centurion, I mean, that's a lot of faith.
It surely is.
Glory to God. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't give a background information concerning the centurion, but other than he's a man of authority.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Yeah, I always remember, he gave us faith is a mustard seed.
Yes.
Mustard seed is very, very, very small.
Yes, it is.
And as long as you truly believe in what Jesus has done on the cross of Calvary and believe what the Word of God says, your faith grows because you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember saying, you have so much faith to grow into a sycamore tree. You know, a sycamore tree is a big, wide tree. And this centurion, that's the kind of faith he had.
Well, he had greater faith.
He had greater faith.
Because what happened is that if somebody come to you and tell you, well, listen, just speak the word on it.
Yeah.
I have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
My in-laws or whatever the case might be, that they're sick.
Mm-hmm.
But just speak the word and I know that they'll be healed.
Yeah.
I mean, would you be able to do that? Would you be able to hear what somebody else is saying concerning, well, I'll speak the word. And whatever the problems that in your family members
mm-hmm.
have,
mm-hmm.
That they'll be healed.
Amen.
Now, that's awesome right there.
That is awesome.
That's awesome mm-hmm. because do we have that kind of faith? To believe like that? That if someone come and say, well, I'll speak a word to you concerning you or your family members. Would you accept that word as them saying, well, you heal?
Yeah.
I tell you, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
And that's what the centurion did. He said, well, no, speak a word only.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speak a word only.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And he said, and I know my servant. I know, and there's no doubt, I know my servant will be made whole.
And he was.
Well, I tell you,
mm-hmm.
the whole idea is that we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And he, the centurion didn't have hope. He just believed what the word said. And faith is the evidence of things not seen.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, this is something, and I kind of like blundered over this because of what happened here and reading this. But I tell you, it's very important that
we believe
because Jesus spoke a word
mm-hmm.
and the centurion's servant was made whole.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say today, Minister Gloria is going to speak a word and you can get saved.
Amen.
If you're not saved.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Salvation is the platform and the possibility for everybody that tuned into the broadcast that you can be made whole. Praise mm-hmm. the Lord. So, Minister Gloria, would you?
Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved, just believe, by faith.
Praise God. You don't have to worry and you don't have to fret. All you need to do is to have faith in God. God bless you all. Until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach. Thank you.